This one I'm setting up because I'm going to play some audio and it just makes it convenient on here.
Yeah, that's fine. And what I'm going to do is, here in a second, I'm going to go ahead and start an audio recording just so that I have an actual copy of what took place as far as the audio. So don't normally get the request for audio, but if that's something you want, I'm not here to
no problem.
Keep you from doing it if that's what you want to do.
I appreciate that.
When I start, I'll just have you introduce yourselves and give your name, and I'll start off with a date and time, and then we'll move forward, and you can give your give the info that you wanted to give.
Thank you. As a backup, I'm going to run this, too.
Okay, here we go. Okay. All right, this is a hearing that was requested by Mr. Ibe. It is December 16th, 2015 at 10:08 hours. I'm in the lieutenant's office to conduct a hearing at Mr. Ibe's request. There's two gentlemen here, Mr. Ibe and another gentleman, so I'll have them introduce themselves so that I can have a clear record of who is here for the hearing. Mr. Ibe, would you like to?
Sure. The given name is Corey Brandon. The family name is Ibe, spelled E-I-B.
Given name is Luis Francisco. Family name Silvestri, S-I-L-V-E-S-T-R-E.
Thank you.
Can I move this plaque?
Yes.
Thank you. Is there any other housekeeping before
I... You know, this is just in regards to an incident that occurred on November 25th, 2015 at approximately 1800 hours. A stop on the 405 northbound north of Mulholland. Is that correct, Mr. Ibe?
Yes.
Okay. And where his vehicle was towed and he was issued a citation for not having a valid license, for expired registration, and for failure to provide proof of insurance. And his vehicle was subsequently stored at the scene by Officer B. Miller for violation or authority section 22651P as in Paul of vehicle code. Okay, Mr. Ibe, go ahead.
I just heard you say the officer was Mr. B. Miller, or is it Ree Miller?
It's B. Miller?
B. Miller,
yes.
Okay, so I'll attempt to get that right. I thought it was Ree Miller, sorry. Quick summary. What I'm here to present is that there are actually two states of California. There are also two persons involved, both with the same name, but they're distinct persons. And that the automobile that is currently stored by the CHP is personal and private property, and it's protected from seizure for public use by Article 1, Section 8 of the 1849 California Constitution. The citation and the notice of tow both contain serious factual errors. These errors, along with the registration history of the automobile, will demonstrate beyond any doubt the tow was an illegal seizure of private property, and that seizure occurred in a jurisdiction foreign to the jurisdiction of the CHP. To begin with, California entered the Union in 1850 as part of the Compromise of 1850. Congress found California to have a Republican form of government and approved the Constitution, which was ordained in 1849 for inclusion into the Union. The moment California entered the Union and was approved by a two-thirds majority of Congress, the jurisdiction of the federal government began to operate within the borders of California per the Compact of Several States, or known as the Federal Constitution. From here on out, I'll refer to general government, or the federal government, as the United States. At the time California entered the Union, the term United States citizen was used often. However, the term meant a citizen of one of the several states, not a citizen of Washington, D.C., because at that time, the District of Columbia did not have citizens of its own. When the Civil War broke out, that fundamentally changed the nature of our federal government, and the 38th Congress, under emergency conditions, redefined the term United States to mean the District of Columbia. That same definition applies today to the United States federal government, as well as all of its administrative divisions today, which are commonly referred to as states. On July 9, 1868, the 14th Amendment was ratified and went into effect, providing for the first time in the history of the country that the District of Columbia would have citizens of its own. The government of the District of Columbia is fundamentally different than the government of the several states. It is an administrative government, and the framers never intended this jurisdiction to have citizens. California was the 36th state to ratify the 14th Amendment, and that occurred on May 6, 1859. In 1879, the United States adopted a constitution for its administrative division, which the executive headquarters of its administrative division, known as the State of California, are located at 444 North Capitol Way Northwest, Washington, District of Columbia, in a facility known as the Hall of States. So I have with me, if you'd like to inspect it, this is a certified copy of the Constitution of California when it entered the Union in 1850. I also have the table of contents available from the California
Sergeant 80 from Division.
From the California LegInfo website. These are two valid constitutions. The common belief is that the 1879 Constitution of California replaced the 1849 Constitution. I'll show in just a moment that this Constitution has very distinct requirements in order to make any changes, and that there was no legislation ever repealing this Constitution, and that the two constitutions operate in completely foreign jurisdictions to each other. So the term State of California in this context is a homograph, meaning they are two terms that are spelled the same, sound the same, but have different meanings. In the 1879 Constitution of California, the next step is to establish the actual location. So it was on the 405 northbound, just beyond Mulholland. That location is in a physical geographic location that is foreign to the United States. And I'll explain that in a moment. This is Article 3, Section 2 of the 1879 Constitution, under which Mr. B. Miller was operating. And Article 3, Section 2 states, the boundaries of the state are those stated in the Constitution of 1849 as modified pursuant to statute. Sacramento is the capital of California. I have, if you'd like to review, both the original version. This is the Constitution that was admitted into the Union by 2/3 majority vote of Congress, and those borders are stated here. If you'd like to read that, it's a little difficult, but I'd make it available to you. I also have a printed form of the same Constitution.
That's actually a copy of the actual original.
Sorry, yeah, that's the original one. That's the same one that is there. This is the typewritten equivalent from the California Secretary of State's website of these words here. If the CHP disagrees that this occurred within the jurisdiction or within the boundaries of California, as stated in the 1849 Constitution, then I'd request the CHP provide some sort of proof that this happened within the jurisdiction of the United States. So, would you like to review? Would you like this at all?
You know what? I'll take copies of it.
Okay. Yeah, I'll make everything here available for you to make copies when we're done, or do you want to make copies?
Yeah, we can do it after we're done. That way we don't interrupt your presentation.
Thank you. I'll put this back. I'll put this in here. And this, just for the record, this has the red seal. This referring to the certified copy of the 1849 Constitution obtained from the California Secretary of State website, or California Secretary of State's office. And on the final page in the bottom lower right is a black stamp. Secretary of State Alex Padilla, the original of this document, is in the California State Archives, 1020 O Street, Sacramento, California, 95814. So California, as I mentioned before, there are two states of California, but only one of them is one of the several states. The other is an administrative division of the federal government. I'm sorry, I'm going to go back just a moment. I have an email here with reference to the both the 1879 California Constitutional Convention as well as the 1849 California Constitution. The archives web email address, the response in this email came from Jessica Herrick, and I've highlighted a small section of this because there is no clear evidence of any repealing legislation. They're requiring additional information to attempt to find any legislation that would have repealed the 1849 Constitution.
And let me just, I'm going to interject for a moment. You're given a historic review of a lot of the issues of, and the reason why you feel that the vehicle is not in the right jurisdiction, and that's fine. But I don't want to go, you've got a lot of paperwork there, and I just don't want to make it too lengthy as far as the background of it.
I'm estimating it'll take me about another 20 minutes to go through everything.
Okay,
is
well,
that too long?
Yeah, okay, you know, I want you just to elaborate further on, you know, get specific and to the point as far as your vehicle. You don't believe it's in the jurisdiction, and I understand you're pointing to the Constitution and the years differences.
Well, they're two different governments is what I'm referring to.
Right, yeah. And so that really doesn't have a whole lot of, I'm allowing you, I want to hear you out, but I can't extend this too long.
Okay.
Because I want to more or less get to the facts about the storage of your vehicle and your license. And if you have a valid license or there's something, that would be more of the information I need to know to go around this. So
one final point to point out the difference between the two states, because the authority by which the vehicle is being held is under the Constitution of 1879. That's the authority that the CHP operates, the state of California operates, and the nature of that state is really important to discern to be able to tell the difference between the two. The current section, this is a from California Commercial Code 9307, that refers to a location of a debtor. Certainly, the state of California would be a debtor in the obligations that it has to different people that are creditors to the state. This is 9307B3 of the California Commercial Code. A debtor that is an organization and has more than one place of business is located at its chief executive office. The chief executive office for the state of California is located at 444 North Capitol Way Northwest in Washington, D.C., and establishes the domicile of the state of California operating under the Constitution of 1879 as being in the District of Columbia. The District of Columbia is a foreign jurisdiction to any of the several states. California, under its Constitution of 1849, is one of the several states.
So you're saying going under the 1849 Constitution.
I'm a citizen of California,
1849.
That's
okay.
Right.
Okay. And I just want to make sure I understood that, because that's kind of what the notes that I've taken. So.
And then the last final thing to compare the two is in Texas v. White. The judges referred to In the syllabus of Texas v. White, the court described the difference between an administrative state and one of the several states. And one of the big things was the nature of it. The several states, as the term is used in the Constitution, or primarily use the term state in the Constitution, it refers to a concept of a people, defined territories, and a government. The state of California, under its 1879 Constitution, is a people by authority of the 14th Amendment. It's also a government, but it lacks defined territories. And that is Article 3, Section 2 of the 1879 Constitution. Now, immediately upon being stopped, Officer or Mr. B. Miller requested a driver's license, registration, and insurance. Being one of the people of California, 1849, it would be impossible for me to obtain a driver's license, so I did show him identification. The identification, which I'm presenting to you here, this is a photocopy of the identification that I showed to him. I have the original that I showed to him with me.
Okay.
This is a notarized identification, unambiguously absent the specific name structure of first, middle, last. It's listed Corey Brandon as the given name, and the family name is Ibe. It's notarized by Cheryl Burt. And then the California Secretary of State offered an authentication certificate of the notary, making this an act of the state. Article 4, Section 1 of the Federal Constitution protects acts of the state that are valid in all states. So if a state provides an authentication certificate of a notary, then that authentication certificate from California would be valid in any other state. I do recognize that the Constitution does say that it would be valid in any other state, and doesn't specifically say that it might be valid in its own state. So I have requested from the CHP and have yet to receive a response on it as to the policy as to whether or not the CHP recognizes an act of the state of California as an act of the state or not.
Okay.
It would be like this.
Yeah.
That's the original. Okay. That's mine.
That's gotcha.
So. Okay. Like that with a nice little stamp. So this is what he presented
to the officer. Okay.
This is a certificate of vital record. This means it certifies that a vital record exists in the state of California. This person is in the specific name sequence of first, middle, last. This person is on file. The original is on file at the California Department of Public Health, Vital Records in Sacramento, and is property of the state of California. Under the 14th Amendment, I have the secured right to use this as identification if I so desire, or to use a franchise of the United States as an identification if I find it to be advantageous. However, the using this as identification must be voluntary. Residence and citizenship in this country is voluntary. So the CHP has yet to provide, nor has any other government agency provided, any evidence that I am this person. So I'm requesting that the CHP provide some sort of evidence that the state of California has consent to identify me as its property.
So you basically want evidence of you being identified as Corey Brandon Ibe?
That there is consent for me to be identified in the specific name sequence of first, middle, last, Corey Brandon Ibe. I'm happy to provide...
Let me just write some notes down, that way I get this.
So you never identify yourself as first, middle, or last name?
Yeah.
So you're, just to make sure I get this correct, do you want evidence of you to be identified in the name sequence of Corey Brandon Ibe?
Well, Corey Brandon Ibe, but in the specific name sequence of first, middle, last. I'll show you in just a moment the Judicial Council requires that the citation be made in the specific sequence of first, middle, last.
Okay. And what is your first, what are you go by?
Well, it's the titles that are important here. For example, you're a sergeant. If I came into this building looking to deliver a package to McDonald's worker, I don't see a name tag, so I don't know the first initial, but to a Mr. Key, the name might be spelled the same, but the title's different. You're not McDonald's worker, Mr. Key. You are Sergeant Key. And that would be an identifier to separate you from the person that I actually need to deliver to.
Okay.
If somebody caused me harm, and that person's name was Key, but they're actually an iron worker, and I come in here and I claim that you're the one that caused me the harm, yet I keep saying iron worker, one of the options that you would have would be able to show that, well, my name is Sergeant Key, my name is Key, but I'm not iron worker Key.
So an identifier, as you specified.
Correct. Okay. Well, I'll show you in a moment. The Judicial Council specifies the identifier to be in the specific sequence of first, middle, last.
And again, I want to give you opportunity to speak and give your side of the event that happened.
Yeah.
I just don't want to spend a whole, you know, I don't know how long this portion is going to take, but
just a few minutes.
I get the point that there's a
potential
identifier as far as your side of it. You feel that there's an issue with identification for
yes.
you.
Yes. So, yeah.
Okay.
This is the citation. There are serious errors on the citation. The citation, I'd just like you to inspect that. And do you have any objection to that being the signature of B. Miller?
I'm not going to discuss about the signature issues
okay.
and how we write the document.
Okay.
I will say that is S.B. Miller on that line.
Great. It's required to be signed under penalty of perjury. S.B. Miller completed the address portion of the citation as 1278 Glenier, number 261 in Laguna Beach, California. He did ask me, I don't know if it's policy or not, but he did ask me if this information is correct. I have a clip for that I'll play now. This is the first time he asked me.
Hi. Do you live at 1278?
Glenier, that used to be a mailing address.
Okay.
Yeah.
That used to be?
It's no longer valid.
Do you have a current mailing address?
I'd really rather not give you any more information than I've already given you.
That was the first time that he asked me, and I told him it's not a valid mailing address. About 20 minutes later at the stop, he came back and asked again, and I'll play that clip.
Would this be the best address to...
No, that address that you cited is no longer a functioning address. I can't get any... I won't receive anything there. I have nothing to do with that address.
So I clearly stated it's not a valid address, and in fact, it's not a valid address. There's no possible way for me to receive mail there.
So when I write a summary of our discussion right now,
mm-hmm.
what address am I going? Because
I'll provide you that address.
Okay.
Yeah, I'll be
okay.
happy to do that.
Okay.
In fact, on the notice of the vehicle report that you have in front of you, under the title New, it says, as opposed to old, it has a correct mailing address in the specific name sequence of last, first, middle.
Okay.
All right. So I'd like to know where Mr. B. Miller obtained that address. It's a correct address, but it's important where he obtained that, because I have sent correspondence to the office here that is a non-domestic address. And that is a domestic address.
And we obtained this address right here. This was entered by our court clerk, or actually our office clerk, and she found it through the DMV when we have to attach a printout to each of these documents.
So okay.
There it had your excuse me, your information on it.
I'd like to point out then that if that is the information from the DMV, is that listed as the registered owner?
Yes.
It
that's
is.
The address that we have.
Okay,
yeah.
Fantastic.
And under Ibe Corey Brandon.
Yeah, that's correct. I'll show you a copy of the paperwork.
And Just excuse me for asking. Sure. I want to make sure I got this correct. So I've on the registration here. Is that your last name or first name?
Well, that is. In fact, let me just get to the registration here.
Okay.
So here is a...
But do you, and I, so I don't have to ask again. This is the address.
That's a mailing address. Okay. Yeah, that's a valid mailing address.
Okay.
In that specific sequence of that address, according to the domestic mailing manual, that is a domestic address. Okay. That address is within the jurisdiction of the United States.
Okay.
The
And that would be under the 1849 one,
no,
right?
No, that or would be 1879.
1879?
Yep, okay. 1879, and that person there is evidenced by a state-issued birth record.
Okay.
Okay? So...
But you said you fall under the 1849.
That's right. In other words, that's not me. In other words, that's McDonald's worker Corey okay. Brandon Ive. I don't.
So this is
McDonald's.
Under, like you said, the 1879.
Correct.
Okay.
Yep.
I just fall into here, so I'm trying to get it right. Okay.
And which would mean that that is property of the state.
Property of the state.
4155 of the vehicle code governs the registration of vehicles that are property of the state.
Okay.
When a vehicle is purchased new, there is a thing called the manufacturer's certificate of origin. I have a sample copy from Daimler Chrysler. This is what it looks like. This is the ownership. This is to show who owns the car.
Okay.
In order to register a car, this gets turned over to the DMV. So the DMV is assumed would have this because when I purchased it, or when the purchase was made, it was already registered. It was a used vehicle that had previously been registered.
Okay.
So according to law, it requires a transfer of ownership.
Correct.
This is the copy of the paperwork sent to the DMV. It bears my signature, which I refer to as a naked signature. This means that it is me signing it, not the person there that's signing it, but I sign this under penalty of perjury under 4155 of the vehicle code for exempt license plate request. This is my second time registering a car under this code, and I'm fully aware that if I've committed perjury, then I'm even though I'm not in the 1879 state, I have submitted myself to the perjury laws of the 1879 state. I explained fully to the DMV the reason why this should be registered under 4155 of the vehicle code and should be issued plates, because it is property. The registered owner.
Let me. What's the form number on that?
It's Reg 5050. Yeah. These used to be available online, but apparently they weren't appreciative of my efforts, and they're not available.
They took them off.
Yeah.
Okay. I'm sure it couldn't have been solely from you, but.
Be surprised at how many changes have happened in the state because of me.
Well, you, I'm sure you can provide some good points on your behalf, so.
I hope so. This is a certificate of title that was part of the transfer of ownership for the car. Okay. And on the back, you'll see that it was registered exactly the registration information that was provided to the DMV is what you have there.
So, let me, when you write, I'm Corey Brandon...
I am in the specific name sequence.
Is that the sequence that you use?
No, that's the sequence of the birth record. That
birth
is
record.
Last, and it even last, first, middle.
Okay.
Okay? That's who that is.
Okay.
The lien holder, as you can see the lien holder, the name is spelled the same, but these are different people. This is given name Corey, family name Ibe, and it's sent care of the address here.
Okay.
Now, the care of is something that oftentimes most administrative agencies say it's no big deal.
So you're saying this isn't you. This is recognized under the...
birth record. This is the state.
Okay.
Right? That's not me.
Okay.
This is me.
Okay.
Right? As far as care of, I have lots of letters. Generally, it's judges who respect that. This is a judge from the assistant or a supervising judge, Judge Ream. And you can see here... that it was mailed to care of, showing that this indicates somebody who is not the registered person for that address, but it's being sent to that address care of.
And so what you're saying is there's an issue with identification with all this paperwork.
Yes, there's an issue with identification, correct. And I'm almost done, so we'll be...
I just, if it's related to the same thing, I'd rather not spend a whole lot more time. I understand your position now as far as identification issue, so I just don't want to extend this any longer on this particular subject. So
I've just got a couple of, just a few more points and I'll be done.
Okay.
Moving on to ownership of the car, I requested a copy of the MCO, which would be on file with the DMV, indicating that they have legal title.
MCO, what's that?
That stands for Manufacturer's Certificate of Origin. Okay. That is what comes from the manufacturer, and it's like the birth certificate for a car, and that's what gets turned over to the DMV in order to register it. Okay. I didn't bring the policy statement with me, but the DMV will not register a car without having the MCO or some sort of transfer of ownership to the state.
Okay.
When Officer B. Miller asked for identification,
Officer Larson, 1816.
The identification that I provided him is acceptable identification in any state. I've used it to go through TSA. I've used it to enter federal court buildings, and I've used it to cross the border from Mexico back into the country. I've used it for anything that it can validly be used for. It's not a valid use of identification to obtain a driver's license. It's not a valid use of identification to get a bank account. So it does have limitations. The reason is those are different jurisdictions that require a certain type of participation. The presumption, this is the vehicle code 12505, and I'll just read, this has to do with residency. Residency shall be determined as a person's state of domicile. The identification I showed you has it very clearly stated that the domicile is California 1849. I don't know if I got a little bit off, but I'll provide you a copy with it, which rebuts the presumption under 12505 here, B. It says the presumption of residency in this state may be rebutted by satisfactory evidence that the licensee's primary residence is in another state. It's not able to find a term. This term is troubling because I didn't present any type of license, nor does California 1849 provide any type of license with regard to it. However, this indicates that residency is presumed and it was rebutted upon showing the identification.
Okay.
I have a copy of Article 4, Section 1 of the Federal Constitution, which we already covered. And then finally, since residency was rebutted, the only available option for me to be under the jurisdiction of the vehicle code in California 1879 is listed, that I'm aware of, is listed at 21052 of the vehicle code. 21052 of the vehicle code says the provisions of this code applicable to the drivers of vehicles upon the highways apply to drivers of all vehicles while engaged in the course of employment by this state, any political subdivision thereof, any municipal corporation, or any district, including authorized emergency vehicles subject to those exemptions granted such authorized emergency vehicles in this code. The 13th Amendment prohibits involuntary servitude. I'd require that the CHP provide some sort of evidence that I am employed by this state and or by any other administrative division of the federal government. In order to get a license, the officer or Mr. B. Miller...
You, just to go back, sure. You said you wanted the CHP to provide evidence of your...
Evidence so, pursuant, I've rebutted that I'm not a resident.
Of residency.
Yeah, I've rebutted residency. Well, yeah, if you can provide something that shows I'm a resident. Now, the birth record, because of the nature of that person, 1849 California operates under common law. That's how it operates. And in common law, the crime of bastardy is a very serious issue. The person indicated on the state-issued birth record is a bastard and therefore would be a criminal under California 1849 and would not have the rights to citizenship. So it's very important that somehow you prove that you have my consent to be identified that way or provide some sort of proof that I'm not a legitimate citizen of California.
And just to ask you, where are we at in your presentation, Mr. Ibe?
98% done.
Okay, because we're 30 over 30 minutes into it, and I've okay. here I'm just what I want you to realize is I understand the history you've provided.
Okay.
Under identification and as far as the difference between 1849 and 1879.
Yep.
Is that 79?
1849, 79.
You operate off 1879. So, I operate 1849.
Right. So I understand where you're coming from, and you did provide your side of it as far as what you feel. So I just want you to know I understand your position.
Thank you. Okay. Thank you. I'll just wrap this up with one final thing, and that is this is it's called TR-INST. This is from the Judicial Council of California. It relates to notice to appear and related forms. I have the chapter section here. I didn't print up the entire thing because there's only a couple up here that are very important. The defendant's name says the defendant's name is required on the notice to appear, so it must be there. It is a material fact. The sequence of the defendant's name must be first, middle, last. This sequence corresponds with the California driver license identification card. Now,
what you're saying is the name's listed wrong on the citation for you.
I'm not that person.
As far as it being
That's not
you.
Me. Okay. Yep. And it must be the name listed on the card. It would be impossible for Mr. B. Miller to have seen a card because the DMV has destroyed. Where did it go?
You're very organized. You have a lot of paperwork there. It's
well, you know,
kudos to you.
Thank you. Thank you. You know, I tell you, I love the history of our country. I really do.
Well, I can tell you researched.
I'm no fun at parties, but
you provided me a lot of information that I've never known. So.
Oh, great. Wonderful. Well, that means we get better government. These are two things I'd like you to see. The DMV is required to keep a record of all registration applications. This is a receipt for the returning in the certificate of title that shows the expense copy. It shows the birth record as the registered owner, and it shows me as the lien holder. I was also issued a temporary operating permit, LAL 0429913. This expired on June 30th.
And let me just back up real quick to clarify, because I have a question, and I want to make sure I've got it right. What you're saying, and forgive me if I'm making you repeat what I should know already, but I just want to make sure. You're saying these are two different people.
Correct.
They have the registered owner. That's not you, but you're listed here as the lien holder.
Correct.
Okay.
And as the lien holder, and again, being able to do business on behalf of the franchise, which is the state-issued birth record. This is the documents that were filed at the California Secretary of State on October 23rd, 2009. So these are public documents that are available, and it shows even though these are two names that are spelled the exact same, they are two different persons. One is a creditor, and one is a debtor. The debtor is the registered owner, and that's how I maintain that I am the lien holder.
The debtor is the
registered owner,
and you're the creditor, right?
I'm the creditor and
the lien holder.
Yes. Well, in
the legal owner.
For UCC financing statement 0972123937 23, I'm the creditor.
Okay.
The registered owner is the debtor.
Okay.
Finally, the discussing the issue of the name, I have one last clip to play. This involves a second officer, and then I'll show there was a third person involved in the taking of private property under the jurisdiction of California 1849. This is with Mr. A. Smith.
So this is what the officer, DeMiller, wrote up. It's a citation for being unlicensed, citation for the registration that needs to be taken care of, and for not having proof of insurance. Now, I explained to you earlier, you can read in that red box there, that's where the signature needs to go. It says, without admitting guilt, I promise to appear at the time and place indicated below.
Okay.
As long as you sign that, then you can go take care of this with the court.
Can I have a moment to go through that?
You can look at it. It's all written on there.
Okay.
Yeah, go ahead and look at it. I'll give you a pen to sign.
And the name that you signed here, that's your...
given in family name, that's my signature, but it's modified by by Corey Ide, authorized signature. That type of signature is governed under 3401 of the commercial code.
So by writing by, that creates a different identity, right? Isn't that
for example, let me finish...
I can't in good faith.
So have you ever had a driver's license in this state with using that name right there?
Of course, yeah.
Okay.
And the way I used it was I went to a government office, I got a document that said...
You mean the DMV?
No.
Oh.
Before that,
okay.
You can't just show up at the DMV, right?
Okay.
When you're born here, you don't have ID.
Right.
You don't have ID?
Right.
You have to go to get a driver's license, you have to go to a government office.
Okay.
I have to get a piece of paper that is owned by the government. It's on file, which will be a part of this case. It's on file at the Department of Public Health.
Okay.
Vital records.
Okay.
And then I have to say I'm that person.
So what name are you using now?
The title's different. Like, what's your title? You're a supervisor, right?
Right.
Now, so this is going to, this is, I...
That's done.
I understand,
it?
Okay. Yeah.
Perfect. He already got
no,
it.
No, I got it. Well, because you provided a clear presentation of the title, I understand what you're...
Wonderful.
What
okay,
you
I just want to make sure that it's known that that was also presented at the time of the stop. The officer was absolutely clear that I was saying, I'm not this person.
I agree. I believe that's what you told him.
Yeah, okay.
With the title.
And just as a... well, let's see. The signature is governed under 3401 of the Commercial Code of California. That's signature by agent. I have, which is related to this, the security agreement, as well as the power of attorney, which is noticed in public record at the California Secretary of State's office, that I'm signing on behalf of that person with no liability.
Okay.
And that's a normal thing that's done all the time in the normal course of business. I recognize that the general public generally just prefers to identify themselves as a state-issued birth record. But that's their right. They're certainly allowed to do that. I exercise my right to
identify the First Amendment. In another capacity.
Exactly. Okay. Exactly. And then
because you don't recognize the state.
No, I do recognize the state.
I mean, for the name.
Well,
the way that they do the names anyway.
I absolutely recognize it. All I'm doing is exercising my right to say that I don't want to be a part of that jurisdiction.
Okay.
And there's another jurisdiction that was originally reserved for the people, and that's the jurisdiction that I've manifest my domicile to be.
Okay.
And then finally on the certifications, which shows that this would be impossible to do, under Title V of the United States Code.
Again, I...
Too much?
I'm just... You're getting into a narrative here that
is more.
We're already
more
at almost 45 minutes, and I just want to make sure I give you an opportunity to explain everything.
Great.
And I think up to this point, I understand what you're telling me.
Okay.
So, if there's something else you would like to bring forward, you know, please.
I think that's it. I would like to request that the Highway Patrol see the DMV is required to maintain a record of registration applications. So I'd like for the DMV or the CHP to examine the record of the registration. I believe that there were felonies that occurred through the DMV.
It must be the lieutenant.
LT,
sorry.
Apologize.
No, that's okay.
I'm running a meeting. Gentlemen, this is my Lieutenant Kirker.
How you doing?
Hey, you're Ken.
Luis.
My name is Corey.
Pleasure.
Pleasure to meet you.
We're going to be done in just a minute, so.
Take your time. I'm just going to throw this in.
Thank you, sir.
So the DMV should have issued plates, and if they felt that what it was done was criminal or illegal, then they certainly have the authority and my consent to prosecute me under the laws of 1879, the perjury laws of your state, because that's where I was. I am a non-resident of California, 1879.
But you are a resident of the 1849.
Not right. A resident, and the Constitution makes a distinction between citizen and resident.
Okay.
A resident is someone who's actually from somewhere else and is just here.
Okay.
And what's
a citizen?
A citizen of California, 1849. Correct.
Okay. And that's, he's learning.
You're schooling me. I'm I'm understanding what you're saying, so...
Wow.
I am truly trying to follow everything that you've told me, so that I understand your position. So,
wonderful.
And I just want to make sure you realize that I
Yeah.
I
yeah.
do.
He engaged. Thank He's you. Not just...
Yeah.
I did.
Thank you.
I wanted to give you that...
I appreciate that. And just in summary, I would say that the tow is illegal for a number of reasons. On your form, it shows, which was then sent through the mail. I have a copy of the envelope here. This is the envelope that was sent through the mail. A portion of this is not true. There was no registration in the car. This was signed off by Lewis from the tow company, but there was no registration in the car.
Okay.
That car is private property. Once the registered owner was unable to obtain the plates, the registered owner being property of California 1879 must follow all the rules. And since the registered owner could not obtain proper registration from the DMV, then as the lien holder, the rights of the security agreement were exercised, that property was returned to me, and at that point that property became my personal property and property protected under the 1849 Constitution. And Article 1, Section 8 says that nor shall private property be taken for public use without just compensation.
Okay.
And I think that concludes my presentation. I appreciate you
okay.
giving me the time to do this.
Well, I mean, that's what we try to do. I mean, that's part of the service we try to provide, and you're definitely entitled to give your position, regardless of, I mean, I didn't know what to expect
right.
because I've never been through this type of hearing before where...
Usually some people come crying at it.
Well, it definitely doesn't go in such detail about... 1849, 1879, and a lot of the aspects that you brought up. But I understand with your presentation, you were very clear on presenting it. So,
right.
Now, as far as this, under what we follow as far as the vehicle code, and, you know, that's where all the violations are in there, and if that's what we enforce, and unfortunately, it's contrary to what your belief system is here.
Well, it's not contrary. In other
well,
words,
I mean, it is different. I mean, we're have different views here as far as recognizing the vehicle code,
okay.
and I understand why you don't. And I'm just explaining to you that we enforce the vehicle code violations, and when mm-hmm. we see a violation, we enforce it, and that's why this paperwork was generated. And again, you can present this in court as well.
Mm-hmm.
But as far as what I've heard so far and what I have here, I didn't see anything that would change why we, you know, the authority section was, in my opinion, we followed the law and what we were required to do with law and policy. And so...
I want to point out, though, I do believe that I've made you cognizant of felonies that occurred.
Well, I think you believe that they're felonies.
That's what I said. I believe
you believe, and I have no doubt about that. But okay. I don't feel that there's a felony committed. And who do you think has made those felonies? Wasn't it DMV?
Well, the DMV is one, but with regard to the citation, Officer B. Miller provided an incorrect material fact and then signed it under penalty of perjury.
Okay.
Mr. A. Miller was also involved in the tow. And so was Lewis. The secured right I have to property is Article 1, Section 8 of the Constitution. Your oath, the term state on your oath, would refer to, according to Texas v. White, to the several states.
Okay.
Which means...
I'm not going to... I let you provide your presentation.
I can put the felony in writing if that would be better.
No, you know, I just want to make sure the felonies have been committed, in your opinion, as DMV... Officer B. Miller, and who else?
A. Smith, the supervisor on file. There were other officers that I don't have their name. And the tow driver who signed saying he had registration, but he didn't.
Okay.
And what that is under Title 18.
And again, I'm going to stop. Okay. I'm not going to go in through any more information there.
I have one last request.
I just wanted to make sure I got this down as far as who you believe has committed the felony, because, and correct me if I'm wrong, you have filed a complaint.
Not yet.
Not yet.
No.
Because we've sent paperwork and the sergeant has actually been trying to contact you.
I did receive...
Unsuccessful attempts, I guess.
I did receive, and please convey my gratitude to Captain Starling. I did receive his letter. He notified me that an investigation has been opened into this. And what will be necessary is if this goes to court, which if it does, it's going to require the officer to make changes to the citation, which again would be under penalty of perjury. If this goes to court, then I'll have the opportunity to request admissions. And at that point, I think I can make it very clear to the courts, you know, the overall situation. The last thing that I'd like to request is that since the DMV did not process the application for registration, that had they processed the application for registration, there would have been plates. Instead, they just didn't do anything.
Okay.
There's no copy of the title. There's no copy of the original application. The state, under Section 520 of the Evidence Code, is required to prove that it has some sort of interest in it. Since I'm not a resident and I am entitled to have private property, and there are plenty of court cases to show in this situation, because a long time ago, not everybody registered their car. In fact, the Automobile Club used to be the first one to register cars, and we had a time period where the Automobile Club was registering cars or providing license plates, and then the state began to provide license plates.
Okay.
And
well,
without that,
not to get into, I don't want to get too much deeper, but I just want to make sure. So, as of right now, you are not filing a formal complaint against our officers, or are you?
My intention is to file a complaint. The complaint form is in the specific name sequence of first, middle, last.
Okay.
Since I'm not allowed to use that as me, and that the birth record had nothing to do with the stop.
Okay.
I'm reserving that complaint to make sure that I exhaust all other remedies prior to filing the complaint. But I will have to file a complaint. I may not be able to use the form that the CHP provides because I don't have the authority to change your forms.
Okay.
And if your form is in the specific name sequence of first, middle, last, I have no right to say that that's me.
So if I was to make a new form and put your name sequence that you use, you would be willing
to
move
forward? Yeah, if it was in given and surname, then yeah, no problem.
Okay.
Because if it's given and surname and I sign that under penalty of perjury, I can demonstrate the given and surname with either a passport or my common law ID, which is the ID I showed you.
Well, I appreciate you coming in and providing your side and try and elaborate further on the event that occurred in November. Would you be opposed to talking to the sergeant that's actually looking into your...
Not at all. I'd enjoy speaking to him.
Okay. I don't know if he's here or not, but I know that he wanted to contact you and reach out to you about this situation.
Which sergeant is it?
His name is Sergeant Moulton.
Moulton,
yeah.
Okay.
There's also...
Has he been assigned the investigation by Starling?
You know, there's a couple of different supervisors. One's more of an acting status, that's Mr. Smith, and then there's Sergeant Moulton.
Okay.
So if you're not opposed, what I'll do is we can conclude this, and I've explained to you what my belief is, and we'll go out there and see if he's here, because he starts a shift here shortly.
Okay.
And,
do you have time?
Yeah.
Okay.
All right. Well, that'll conclude the interview. It is going to be 11:01 hours.